I'm going to read out of Matthew. Let me just get into it here. Matthew 26, verse 36 through verse 39. You're going to know the reading as soon as I start. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them, his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be, now listen to this, sorrowful and heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. One translation says, I feel like I could die. Said, tarry or wait here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I'm going to talk to us this morning and just for a bit. And again, God puts it together. Some of what you were saying today comes back to what I have felt today. I honor those that leave family and go on mission fields. I do. I honor. And I don't mean this to be comical or any. I thank God he never called me to a mission field. My dad was enamored with Columbia. He was the missions director of the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ for years. He was enamored with Columbia, South America. Had he gone there before we were all born, we would have been raised in Columbia. I'm glad I was raised in Barberton, Ohio. But I honor. I want to talk to us this morning. You see all these cards here? I don't know if you've bothered to come up ever and look at them. Every time I come in to pray, this is where I pray. I come by and look at, Brother Paul said, take two or three cards. I'll pick up two or three cards. And the Lord puts a burden in my heart. Some of this stuff has broken my heart. Some of the things that I've read, that some of it's been some children that's written them. Some of it are some adults. And it's a pray, it's a cry. God, save my family. What are you doing? We're just submitting a request, and we're two or three are gathered together. And it's kind of along this that goes along with what you were saying today and what I feel. I want to talk to us this morning from this question, how do you pray? How do you pray? You know, next Sunday, we celebrate, as already been stated, Easter. And where's Brother Austin? Did he walk out? Tell him he's not allowed to hunt the eggs Sunday with the kids. He's too competitive. But we celebrate Easter, which is our hope of salvation. Anyone that's been around the church at all, we realize that everything we have is because of what Easter represents, his death, his burial, and thank God his resurrection. And that's my hope. And I really believe that we should not just take it for granted. We've been there. We've had it. I think it ought to be a daily thing that we offer thanksgiving to God. God, thank you. Thank you. Now, what I feel to look at and take us on a little journey this morning is what we are given just before the cross. All the suffering, the agony, and everything that went on the cross is heart-wrenching. I've seen depictions of Calvary. I've seen and heard descriptions of what all of that is something. But I want to tell you this morning, I looked at Drew came in early this morning. He comes in, and I've mentioned this one time to him. Drew, what you are doing with your life is what makes people like that's given themselves to what I've done worthwhile. I see where you are. I see how you love this. And how, this is to me, this is what this is really all about. And I want to tell you, you guys, the younger people that are here especially, if you would learn some of these things when you're still young, it's going to impact you later on in life. It'll change a lot of directions and decisions, and it'll move things in you. But his prayer in Gethsemane should speak to us. Always understand. I'm not going to go through and discuss and define and try to bring a lot of things that I could, but always understand that he was God. He was God who chose to robe himself in flesh. That's how much he loved you. He didn't send another God. He put flesh on and he came and he died. Paul tells us, said without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. This is where we're at. So he could become our sacrifice. He had to put on flesh to become that sacrifice. So when I look at Gethsemane, his prayer, and we're only given a small fragment of it, was the flesh crying out in agony. Don't you ever doubt he was enough, he was completely human. He felt what was going on. He felt it. He asked them, I'm under such stress. Can you not just pray with me for 1 hour? Is that too much to ask? You know what I never looked at it till last night in this light. I wish I had the whole prayer. When we read the couple of sentences of that hour prayer, that's just a small segment. What did he pray during that hour? What? And he prayed it says, 3 times the same words. He went back and prayed the same thing again and again and again and again. And so what did he pray? I want you to get a picture of the man, Jesus. I don't want you to look at the God. Yes, he resurrects from the dead. Yes, he ascends to glory. Yes, he becomes the spirit that indwells. All of that. But don't be quick just to jump over what the disciples have written concerning him. His words. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. My anguish is so great. I feel as if I'm dying right now. Luke said that, and goes on with it, and he said, and as he sweat, his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood. The strain, the effort, the brokenness that was in him. His prayer over this last week has literally consumed me. I hope in the next 15, 20 minutes, I hope that it will reach into your life. I don't know what thoughts you gave this morning when you woke up about coming to church. I don't know what you thought about in the service with the worship going on. First of all, I want to tell you, it's not about us. It's about him. It's about him. God, I want it to reach into you. When he cried out, it all... And we couldn't do it justice. You couldn't say it in enough emphasis. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, would you listen to the one that's getting ready to die? If it be possible, let this cup, there's a lot of things you could say, the cup, it represented something that he was given to drink, something that he didn't want to drink. But if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, because he knew what was about to happen. I'm not getting on next about Easter. I'm really not. But what he is saying, if there's another way, if there's something else that would work, if there's something, let me tell you, his flesh felt what was getting ready to happen. If there's something else that could take place that I didn't have to go through, what I'm going to go through. So he prays this. And a question hit me right between my eyes. How do I pray? I think that's a very fair question to ask. Are my prayers primarily just about me? Is this what I want? I mean, I'm sincere with it. I have this going on in my life. I have this in my family. I have this other situation. Are my prayers, is that what my prayers surround? Or maybe what I feel that I need? God, I need you to do this in my life. I need you to do that. Or are these wrong? No, they're not wrong. But if that's all I'm praying, I'm missing something very vital and very important. What I'm looking at, if you really want him in your life, I don't want to just know about him. I don't want to just say, I know who he is, or I go where we, you know, yeah, I love. No, no. If you want him in your life, That means you want everything that he is and everything that he has. I don't want to just come in here, sit down a few times a week, and I don't want to just shake hands and say it's so good to see you. I want something that'll get me inside. Let me tell you, if no one else is going to walk with him, I want him in such a way I'm going to walk with him. I will stand with him. I will live for him. My walk with God is not open for some debate. My walk with God is not up to what other people are going to do. You can turn your back on him. I hope you don't, but you can. And I'm going to pray for you. Trust me, I've prayed for several. You can fasten your mouth shut, your heart shut, your eyes shut. You can act like you're not even part of it, and that's your business. But I'm going to tell you before Almighty God, you're not going to change who I am. You're not going to change what I am. You're not going to change what I know about God. I want him. If you want all that he is and all that he has, then you've got to pray like he prayed. Oh, I've given myself. It's not what I ask. You got to pray like he prayed. Not looking at the cross right now. I'm not dealing with the cross. I'm dealing with a God that had such anguish. His heart was so heavy, so broken. From the blood dripping out of his pores. I've read medical definitions of that. But to the anguish of soul, what Matthew, Mark, and Luke describes to us and what they are showing us is what he actually felt. I've been fighting to not say this, but I'm going to say it. If you think all we need is a comfortable church, you've lost your ever-loving mind. If you think everything has to just be so-so and this way and that, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. He went not only to the cross, he went to the garden. He prayed a prayer. He went through agony. He endured. He suffered. He went through it. Oh, my Father, how do you pray? Oh, God. You know, I don't like some things. That's what you're talking about in some of the mission stuff. God, I know, Brother Scott, you had to thank God. Why? What? When? How? I thought you called me. I've talked to 4 or 5 pastors in the last 10 days. And I don't think it's a coincidence. They're going through some nightmare situations in their church. And I'm talking about churches that have never been nightmare. I'm talking about there's something working right now in some lives. God, why? I'm going to tell you, until you can get to the place, yes, I see what's coming. If there's any way, God, let this cup pass from me. But it's the next breath that I've got to hold on to. Nevertheless, oh, God, have you ever been to a place you didn't want to pray the next part? I have. God, I don't like this. God, I don't like facing this. I don't like dealing with this. I don't like the sickness. I don't like the trouble. I don't like the calamity. Oh, God. But have you ever come to a place that you put a pause there and you've finally uttered the words, nevertheless? I know what I want. I want every time we do anything, I want every morning that I wake up, I want it all to be roses and beautiful, and I want it all to be just fine. I want everything to go. But I want to tell you something. God, the most powerful statement in the entire Bible to me is this statement. We want to say, oh, he looked down, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me tell you, before he said that, the most powerful statement is when he yielded himself nevertheless. Don't you think for a moment he said it casually and just easily and, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does matter. Nevertheless, not what I want, not my will. Your will be done. I want to tell you something. You need to learn. You need to pray. I need to learn. I need to pray. Teach me to say, God, not my will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. In what? That's in everything. In order for my life, oh God, in order for my life to be changed into his purpose, anybody can show up at church. Anyone can walk in and smile. But for church to show up in you, that's a different something. But in order for my life to change into what he wants it to be, not what I think it ought to be, that's where we're wrong. That's where we're wrong. But if I'm going to be what he has for me to be, I have to pray like he prayed. I have to pray. Well, take up your cross and follow me. I got it. Before I take up a cross, I've got to pray like he prayed. I'm asking you this morning, do you truthfully pray? Do you honestly pray when you pray, your will be done? In between all of the other things that we're telling God, do you ever really pray? I think that, you know, I've prayed more often than I realized. I've prayed, Lord, help me. I can cry that out with the best of them. I've prayed, Lord, change this. I mean, I have wept before God before, and what I was really doing was just saying, God, just do something. And all the while, God was waiting for me to get to that nevertheless. What maybe he's laid on me to wear for whatever purpose or whatever reason, whether it be sickness or trial or whatever, whatever he's placed around me, is his intention is to get me to the place where I can say, nevertheless, nevertheless, not what I want, not my thinking, but what you want, what you want. When the disciples ask him, teach us to pray. I found it interesting. The other day I thought about it. I guess I've never given much thought on it before. I've gone through the Lord's Prayer. I've taught all the ins and outs of the Lord's Prayer over the years. We've been recited and all of that. But I thought the other day, there's something that he says that if we truly pray it, would change our lives. It'll change how we pray and how prayer will affect us. Out of that Lord's Prayer, I believe If you come in and you don't honor God, you don't even have a right to pray. You honor God. I believe that you ask Him for blessings. I do. I do believe you ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for His help. I do. I've prayed for so many sicknesses. Like I said, these cards. I took some of these cards, and I'm not even going to tell you what they said because I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But I looked at some things here, and I thought, oh, God. And I've prayed over the silly things I've prayed about. It's a wonder why God hasn't smitten me sometimes. I looked at some things. I looked at these and I saw brokenness. I saw needs that I've never felt, I've never gone through, I've never experienced. And I'm looking, what I'm trying to say is, yes, God, help us. Yes, God. But what did He say at the beginning of when He said, when they said, teach us to pray? He said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy will be done. He's not got to any of the blessing parts yet. He's not got to the any heal me parts yet. He's not got. I'm going to go back. I just felt it. The work of a missionary, the work of a home missionary going into a town with no church, whatever it may be, before you ever, Brother Sladen, I know you've experienced probably things that are of biblical proportion, but before you ever could experience blinded eyes opened, you had to experience, God, I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my parents. Not my will. What takes me here? What's taken this couple and going to plant them all these miles away? It's definitely not a better lifestyle. It's not, well, man, I want fame. No. It's not my will. Your will be done. I'm telling you in this church this morning, you're not going overseas to plan a work. You're going to be here in this place. But in order, there's a work to be done in this place. There's souls to be won in this place. There's hearts we got to reach in this place. You got to understand with me. You got to get past you and get to Him. You got to get past what you want and get into what He wants. How are you praying? How much thought have you ever given in the Lord's Prayer when we're reciting it? They recite it. I've heard them in the past recite it in business meetings in town and other things. But in it, the very beginning, something that if you do not get this, the rest of it is meaningless. Your will. Your will. It is at this moment your will be done. Come on, please. It is at this moment that we determine whether God has access to our lives or not. I'm not saying, can you feel God? You can smell when you're hungry. You can smell food cooking, but the smell of food does not do what taking food in would do. It smells good. I saw someone one time preach a message, watched him. He took some bread and he said, look at this, and it's fresh baked. It smells, oh, it smells so good. And he broke it. He said, oh, man, don't you love fresh bread? Brother Croft, he started rubbing it all over himself. He said, now I've got the bread, but it's not doing me a bit of good. Oh, I feel God. If you haven't given God access to your life, feeling God is no more than rubbing bread over a hungry arm. I want God to touch me. Anyone can ask Him to help. Anyone can speak the needs, and we must do this. But can you say, not in everybody else, not if the whole church does. I made up my mind some time ago. When I go to church, I'm going to church if nobody else shows up. Can you say, God, your will be done? I'm going to tell you something. I'm almost finished. I told you it's nothing elaborate. I want to assure someone this morning, I felt this in the Holy Ghost beyond strong yesterday. I'm going to tell you, God has something for you. Not down the road. He has something for you today. He has something for you in this service. He has seen what you've gone through. He's watched you shed tears. But I'm going to tell you, in the name of the living God, until you can pray, set him down, Cameron. Until you can pray, not my will be done, but your will. Until you can pray that, he's not going to be able to touch you because you're not letting him. Oh, I feel him when I want him. That's cheap. That's cheap. That's a slap in the face of God. When I want him, I'll crank it up. You know, I know what to do. Well, then why don't you do it? Why don't you live it? I'm so glad he didn't say, well, I know what I should do, but we're out of here. Nevertheless, oh, I'll live it my way and I'll get it. No, you won't. No, you won't. There'll be no death on the cross that way. There'll be no salvation that way. And in the same way, if you try to live it in your life that way, you will never receive what God has for you. You'll die without it. Until you can pray and mean it. Not pray so others hear you. Till you can pray, not my will, your will. See, he can't touch you until you let him. Hear me. Last statement. It is time for you to say it. For you to say it. This is not one of those let's all stand and let's all say. No, it's time for you to say it. Your will be done. God, your will be done. How are you praying? How do you pray? What are you offering to him? God's trying to reach you. Are you going to hold on to your will, or are you going to yield to His will? I'm so glad they gave us the prayer in the garden so I can have stand with me if you would. There's hundreds of things I could say and examples I could give. All I know is there's an unction of the Spirit of God right now so heavy in my heart. I'm going to ask. Nobody's looking around at you, but I'm going to ask, would you be willing, if need be, could you step out? And by doing that, could you say, I want your will in my life. I can't do this on my own. I need you. I'm asking if anybody would come. It's your call. It's up to you. God, I want your will in my life. I want your will. Don't expect Him to force you or drag you. It's because you want Him, not my will. God, there's things I want, but most of all, I want your will in my life. I want your will in my heart. Oh, God, don't hold back on God. Don't hold back on God. Don't hold back on God. Tell Him, God, I want your way. I want your will. Jesus. Jesus. God, your will. Oh, God, your will. Oh,